Those of you that are dads this morning, do you think about what that means? How did you learn to be a dad? Who taught you? And you think about all the things that we learn as children, as boys. We get taught a whole bunch of things as we grow and as we develop. We're taught at school reading and writing and math and sport and all that sort of stuff. But who taught us to be a dad? Who taught us to be fathers? Every man who's had a vocation, has a vocation, who's learned a trade or how to be an electrician or mechanic or pilot or how to use a computer, whatever your job role is, we were at some point taught that, weren't we? Maybe we went to school and studied and learnt that. We did an apprenticeship, we learned it on the job. But who taught us to be fathers? You think about all the things that we learn around the house. Things that we might do as dads, you know, how to change washers, how to change a light bulb, how to mow the lawn. Most of us would probably say that we learnt those things by watching our own dads. Or for those of us who maybe never knew our dad, or had a bad dad that didn't teach us these things, maybe you learnt by watching someone else's dad. It was somebody else that you watched. I think there's a key truth here that all dads are actually training their kids what it means to be a dad. You kind of pick that up in the little video question or challenge that we put there. You know, the little boy says, "Dad, I'm watching you, whether you realize it or not." I think that is a truth of parenting. It's not just for dads. It applies to mums as well. Whether we realize it or not, our children are watching us. It's important that they learn the right lessons from us as dads. I think it's especially important for those of us who are Christian parents. You see, we understand that God has given us that role of parent as a special duty. It's a gift to us. Our children belong to God. The Bible tells us that they're a gift from Him. That means is they're on loan. They're a gift. Like all the good gifts that God gives us, we have a responsibility as parents to steward that gift well. So it's important that we understand that, whether we like it or not. We are teaching our kids. They're watching us every day. What we want to do this morning is just take a few moments in the time we have before us to look at the Bible and see how we might ensure as dads that we're passing on the right instructions to our kids. We want to look at what the goal of parenting is for us as Christian dads, and we want to look at the how. How do we shoot towards that goal? How might we practically work towards that? Our passage this morning is in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It'll be a familiar one to you if you've been in City North for a while. It's a passage that we quote often and read from. It's something that hopefully God will speak to our hearts again through this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll just read the first 9 verses here. If you don't have a Bible, we'll have it on the screen, but there are some in the little seat pockets in front there. It's good to follow along for yourself in the text. And if you've got the Bible there, you can flick around and see what else is in the chapter there. And if we move out, you can go to the other place as well too. But Deuteronomy 6, 1-9, we read these words. "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. We'll just end the reading there for now. The first thing we see by way of instruction for dads this morning is the goal of Christian parenting. Verses 1 to 3 of this chapter 6 here in Deuteronomy. Moses is recounting to the people of Israel prior to their entering into the promised land, the commands and decrees, the laws that God had given to them as a nation, exhorting them to remember this as they enter into that land of opportunity and promise and potential. In these first three verses of chapter 6, we see the goal, the clear goal of parenting God has in mind for us as Christian parents. We have a target to aim for. It's wonderful that God gives us this instruction, this command. I love how Psalm 127 captures this idea that parents have a goal to aim for when it comes to parenting our kids. Psalm 127 verse 4 says of children, gifts that God has given to us, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Wonderful metaphor. Children are like arrows. Parents are like warriors. And the picture that we get in Scripture is that parents are launching their children towards a target, an ideal, a goal that God has set for them. Our culture today would seem to have us aim towards a variety of different targets. We're told that all of these targets are good to aim for our kids. Academics, career, financial security, health, all sorts of competing targets, all viable targets for us to launch our children towards. But Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 1 to 3 tells us that the one target that we should be aiming for above all others as Christian parents is raising children who fear the Lord. That's there in verse 2. As Christian dads, we need to have that in mind. We need to understand that as we wrestle with this challenge that our kids are watching us all the time. They're learning from us. We're teaching them what the goal of Christian parenting is. As Christian dads, we need to know that our number one goal, our number one target, should be raising children who fear the Lord. Not fear as in afraid of or scared of or can't approach, but that sense of a reverent fear, that respect, that conviction towards. We need to aim or target children who know God, who know His word, and who obey His commands. So that's the goal. Raising children who fear the Lord. But there's two things that we see in the text here that we're told about this goal. Two important aspects that kind of help give it a little bit of legs for us. One is it's a long-term goal. It's a long-term vision, a long-term plan. And the second thing is that it starts with us. We'll get to the long-term plan first. In those first two verses there, we're told that the commands, the decrees, the laws that came from God, the laws that God had directed Moses to teach the people to observe in the land that they were crossing into, the promised land, they were to be taught, they were to be told. And the reason for that, the goal we got there, verse 2, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord as long as you live. Notice that there's a three-generation vision that's captured in verse 2. Did you catch that when we read it? Moses exhorts the people there that the purpose of God giving this target this goal, so that you, your children, and their children. We need to keep that in mind as parents, as we go about parenting our children, that what we do, how we live, all of what we teach, all of what our children observe, it has an impact on how they teach their children. What they see, what they hear, what they learn, what they observe in our parenting and in our work, in our approach to work, in our approach to relationships or business or leisure, whatever aspect of life you want to put there, what our children observe in us is going to stick with them, for good or for bad, depending on what type of example we are. Whether we realize it or not, we are influencing the next generation. I don't know what it's like in your household. Sometimes in our household, things get a little crazy. Life is busy. Sometimes it's chaotic. I think sometimes we as parents, Kelly and I, feel more like firefighters running from one emergency to the next than we do as parents who kind of got it all together. It can be hectic. It's really easy for us as parents in a busy space, in a busy city, in a busy culture, to parent just for now. It can be really easy to do that, to think of our immediate and urgent priorities as parents, to focus just on the current issues or the current crisis that we might be facing. You know, from time to time, don't hear me wrong, we have to do that just to care for or deal with what's happening. But that can't be our model of parenting long term. It's a long term plan. It's easy to lose sight of that fact. Our parenting goals need to be long-term goals. Reminded of that Chinese proverb. It's up on a wall in our kids' school, the Aspley East School there. One generation plants the tree, another generation enjoys the shade. The question that we're confronted with this morning as we read the Bible, as we see that God's wisdom is that we teach our kids and that we have an impact on them and on their children. It's a long-term plan. We want to ask ourselves as dads this morning, are we raising children who are ready to enter into their own situations in life and plant trees that provide the shade of God's word, God's protection, and God's love to the next generation? Are we raising children who are ready to enter into whatever their promised land is that God has for them, whatever their land of potential and possibility and opportunity that God has for them? Children that have been raised to raise their children the same way. It's a challenge for us as parents. It's a heavy responsibility, but one that we as Christian dads need to keep in mind, that goal that's before us, to raise children who fear the Lord. And to recognize that that's a long-term goal. It's something that we need to continue to work at. Like all long-term goals, it's something that we just do. Day in and day out, we just have to chip away at it. But what it also means is we need to be intentional over the long haul. And I think that helps lead into the second thing that we mentioned about that goal, is that it starts with us. It starts with the parents. That's in verse 2. You see it there. The three-generation plan, who does it begin with? It says, so that you. Before it talks about your children or their children's children, Moses says to the people of Israel, so that you. I think, dads, this is really important for us to grasp this morning. Like we saw in that video earlier, we are teaching our kids. You know, what dads believe, what dads love, and what dads do are the things that are most likely to flow on to our next generation. Our kids watch us. Before we can ever raise children who fear the Lord, it needs to start with us. We must first fear the Lord for ourselves. You kind of get the sense of that word fear in there. That reverent fear, weight of conviction that it adds to that whole goal. How essential conviction is for fatherhood today. You think about that. If we truly fear God, won't we stop at nothing to train our children to fear Him? Our children need dads with conviction. Dads who fear God enough to say, "We're going to church on Sunday." Dads who fear God enough to set boundaries and rules for their kids, to make those rules based upon the rules of God and what He has set as good for us as His people. We need dads who fear God enough to pray meaningfully with and for their kids. Dads who fear God enough to work hard at providing for their family. Dads who fear God enough to take the lead spiritually in the home. See, the reality is that dads who fear God, they inspire their kids to hold fast to the truth. Dads who are complacent about God, they don't really inspire much. Actually achieves the opposite. You see no persuasive conviction in dads, and the kids look elsewhere for passion and conviction. The bottom line is, for us as dads this morning, we need to know God so that we can aim our children toward Him. If our intended target is that our children would come to know God for themselves, we need to know Him. It needs to start with us. So that's the goal of Christian parenting, to raise children who fear the Lord. It's a long-term goal, and it starts with us. But now let's look at the how of Christian parenting. How do we get there? And we're told some tips here in this passage, in verses 5 through to verse 9 that we read there. We see two parts to this how. The first, in verses 5 and 6, we see that we need to love God supremely. If this is our target, if that's what we're shooting for, that's only going to happen if we ourselves love God supremely. We'll see that in verses 5 and 6. But the second part to that is we then need to show what that life looks like, what a life lived for God actually looks like. You see that in verses 7 to 9 there. Let's deal with the first one first. Loving God supremely. Verses 4 and 5 there. Moses reminds the people with these words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That verse 4 served as a type of creedal phrase, a creedal passage for God's people. The Shema, the declaration that God was the one true God. It was really important and significant for God's people in this particular time in history. You think about it, they're against a backdrop of a polytheistic ancient world. A world, a culture that says there's a multitude of gods. It was important for God's people to affirm this creed in their teaching about God to the next generation. That they would hold to this understanding theologically of who God is. United Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The one true God, the God of Israel. An exclusive God who had called a people to Himself. Desired a relationship through which the whole world could come to know Him as God. But then we see verse 5, and the command to love God goes right up against that. See, it's important for us to have the right creeds or the right theology about God. It's important for us to have the right understanding of who God is and of what He's commanded us to do. But if we have that on its own, apart from a love for God, it's nothing more than cold and lifeless words. You think about that. You can have all the right creeds. But if you don't have that love for God, that supreme love for God above all others, it's nothing more than cold, lifeless words. And the truth is, dads, that our kids will never be inspired by what we say if it's disconnected from our heart. That's true. That's the reality. Our kids will never be inspired by what we say if it's disconnected from our heart. So in our day-to-day living, the one true God needs to be the all-consuming object of our affection and devotion. That's what it means when Moses exhorts the people there, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. It's an all-of-life thing. You know what that means in reality, in practice? Dads, it means that you're going to better love your kids if you love God more than you love them. Wrap your head around that. You'll better love your children if you love God more than you love them. That's the reality, because unless we love God in that way, we can't truly love our kids. The Bible tells us that we understand what love is as we understand God's love for us. The more we press into God and understand His love, the more we respond in love, the more we grow in our understanding of love and our capacity to love others, our kids and our family. So dads, what that means is more than our wife and our love for her, more than our children and our love for them, our love for God must be the supreme love in our lives. We need to be hard on ourselves with that one, I think, as men. And ask ourselves the question, is there anything in our life that might be crowding out our love of God? Is there anything in our life that is competing for our daily affection and devotion that is deserving to God? See, we can't be a good dad if our heart's in the wrong place. That's the truth here. We need to love God above all others. He must have the place of priority in our lives. Maybe you noticed already, but a love for God always goes hand in hand with a love for His Word. It's one of the ways we grow in love for God. It's by digging into His Word and understanding who He is and what He's done and what He's commanded us to do in response. Verse 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. You love God above all else and grow in your love for God's Word. That's how we grow in our love for God. We treasure His Word. We treasure God's Word when we obey it. The psalmist said that in Psalm 119, verse 11, I've hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Because he loved God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. Love for God is always connected to a love for His Word, because we need to obey His commands. It's how we show Him love. There's a futile adage that's sometimes used by dads to their kids. Maybe you've heard it. Do as I say, not as I do. That's hypocrisy. And our kids see right through it. Christian dads, this morning, God's Word needs to be in your heart so that it'll be seen in what you do, in your conduct. So it'll be visible, because our kids are watching us. They're watching us. You think about it another way. Every educator knows that lessons are sometimes often caught more than they are taught. You know, we tend to learn more from life example than from a lecture. So that's a challenging question for us then this morning from this text. If we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that means to love and obey His Word. Think about it. Just project for a moment. If our kids grow up to be just like us, their dads, will he or she be godly? How close to that target or that mark have we shot them? Kids need dads who love God with all their heart, soul, mind and strength, and who love and live out God's word. Second part of the how we mentioned there was to show our kids what it looks like, to show them what a life lived for God actually looks like. Notice in verse 2, just at the end of verse 2 there, we're told that the command to fear the Lord our God is an as long as we live command. It's an all of life instruction. God says through Moses, it starts with you, dads. Fear God. Love him, obey him as long as you live. It's an all of life command. We need to obey God in all things and keep obeying to the end. We need to finish well. If we as dads do that for a little while and then turn away from God and from his word after our kids are grown up, what that does is just discredit everything that we've taught them when they were growing up. We need to understand that fatherhood is a lifelong responsibility. You don't get to a point where you then just check out and say, that's it, I'm done. Job's done. I can relax now. We don't retire from being dads. You know, the teaching may change as our children move into adulthood and begin their own families. But our life is still to be lived, showing our kids what it means to live for God. Verses 7 to 9 show us in three ways that this means talking about God, it means teaching about God, and it means bearing witness to God. Look at verse 7 there. We're told to impress these things on our children, to talk about them when we sit at home and when we walk along the road, when we lie down and when we get up. Yeah, that whole sitting and walking and lying down and getting up, it covers the entire rhythm of family life. When you're at home, when you're out and about, in the morning and in the evening, before and after bed, God should be a natural part of our talking, our speech, our family life, our conversations. We should take every opportunity as dads to talk about God, to talk about his word, about who he is and what he's done. Dads, our kids need to hear you talk about God. Just in the natural rhythm of everyday life, as opportunities present, as it comes up, as your kids ask you questions, as themes and opportunities and circumstances come up, talk about God and about the things of God, about what God's done. Our kids need to hear us talk about God. We also need to take every opportunity to teach our kids about God. And that means for dads that we need to open the Bible with our kids. We need to read to them if they're little. Maybe if they're older, we can let them read to us. Might be a little bit slower, might be hard going, might test our patience at times. There's a busy day ahead of us and things to do, but take the time. Verse 7 says, impress these things on your children. And that carries this kind of idea of intentionality. There's a plan to this, a purpose to this, kind of owning up to this, taking responsibility. And as dads, we need to take the lead. It's our role, it's our job. God's given that to us. We need to teach our children about God. Sure, bringing them to church and kids' church, junior kids' church, holiday club, youth group, Acts 2, all of that stuff is great and good. Bring them along. Partner with you to teach your kids. But don't outsource it completely. That's a God-given responsibility that he's given to you as dad. So man up to that. Open the Bible with your kids. Spend time teaching them about God, praying with them and for them. It starts with us. You know, the truth is that as much as The goal starts with us, our fear of God. The how starts with us as well too. You know, we're going to struggle to read the Bible with our kids if we're not digging into it ourselves. It's true. We need to be in God's Word for ourselves and, importantly, for our kids. Then verses 8 to 9, the whole business about tying symbols on hands and foreheads, writing on door frames, houses and gates. This is where our talking about God and our teaching about God kind of goes public. What we say to our children in the privacy of our home is one thing, but when that is backed up by what our kids hear us say in public, that's particularly influential. This is where we're called to bear witness to God's work in our public life. Verses 8 and 9 speak of public displays of who we are and what we believe. That's what all of that was about for God's people. So men, the challenge again to ask ourselves, do the people who know us outside of our family, maybe work, neighborhoods, sports club, other areas where we may interact, they get to see us outside of the walls of our house, maybe our church? Do those guys, do those folk know and respect that we are Christians? Understand our biblical convictions? What's our reputation with outsiders is basically the challenge here. Does our life bear witness to our God? Do our kids see us standing up for and speaking out the truth of the gospel? That's the challenge, a challenging question that we ask in relation to that, those two verses there. Plenty for us to chew on this morning. I don't know what your experience has been of your earthly dad. Regardless of what you may have learnt as a child or didn't learn from him about what it means to be a great dad, the Bible tells us that we all have a great God. A great God who has revealed himself to us. A great God who has given us the rewarding task of raising our kids so that they might come to know him. That arrow metaphor in Psalm 127 is so helpful. Because a warrior's job is to aim the arrow so that it might fly straight. But at some point he lets go. Fatherhood is a rewarding task. It's a challenging one. And the reality is, if we aim to be a great dad, we need a great God. Praise God that we have one. A great God and a great heavenly Father who has loved us so much that he sent his Son to die in our place so that we might enter into his family. A great God who was willing to show us such amazing love and grace. A great God who sent Jesus to save us from our sin. A great God who guarantees that salvation if we put our faith and hope and trust in him. How deep our God's love for us, all of us, whether we're dads or not dads this morning. May we look to him in our pursuit as Christian parents. Let me just pray before we sing our final song. Father God, we just want to thank you for these challenging words to us this morning from Deuteronomy. Lord, for that grand goal of Christian parenting, to raise children who fear you. Lord, we understand in and of ourselves that is an impossible task. But from your grace and mercy and love, we need you, our great God, our great Father, to lead and guide us in that task. Father, we rejoice that you have revealed yourself to us as the great God, the one true God, our Heavenly Father. What love and grace we find in you as we celebrate and remember again your love for us. Father, we pray, whatever opportunity we have, whether we are fathers ourselves, or whether as Christian men and women, we are living lives that reflect what it means to live for you, and the little ones here in this community, in this church, are watching on. We know they are. Lord, may we bear witness to your grace in our lives. May we teach these little ones, these precious little ones, what is right and true. We just commit them to you and our roles to that. Father, maybe there's some here this morning who have yet to come to know you as Father. Father, we just pray. Maybe you're speaking with them this morning, speaking to them, revealing your love and your grace. Father, thank you for that wonderful promise of salvation for all who believe. Christ's finished work at the cross. Father, with those who are here this morning who have yet to put their faith and hope and trust in Jesus, they call out to you this morning. Surrender their lives to you. Receive your grace and be brought into your family. Just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.